Welcome to Tuesday Terror, an anthology of stories written by junkies and based in the Siglerverse. This podcast is for mature audiences only. It contains foul language, adult situations, and prolific graphic violence. If you're easily offended, you should not listen any further. Greetings and salutations, my fellow junkies. Welcome to the premiere episode of Tuesday Terror. For those of you who are going, what the fuck is this? Tuesday Terror is the new junkie-created anthology based in the Siglerverse. Fans writing stories that our future Dark Overlord has inspired them to create. I'll have more details on submissions after our stories. I have two pieces for you today. The first is The Tot Tales, A Very Tweety Christmas, a short story written by David Dysart. He is the PR director for the student-run art and literary magazine of Crafton Hills College, the Sand Canyon Review. This year's edition is accepting open submissions of art, photography, short stories, and poetry until March 18th. Please send submissions to scrsubmissions@gmail.com. He's known on scottsigler.com as Avi and is David Dysart on Twitter. All this information is also available in the show notes. The Tot Tales, A Very Tweety Christmas, by David Dysart. The hollow set in the corner screeched from Marcus Crowley, recon on the edge, to that annoying newsman. Mom always had it set to turn him on. Every morning, the house filled with Mr. Comeover's rambling, so the boys at the table never got to see the end of Crowley. He was babbling on about the purest nation delivering a terrorist attack to Earth for their giving day, but that's all that environmental hiccup warranted of Johnny's attention. He was far too focused on staying two forkfuls ahead of his little brother. Two full bites, and he had always been faster at licking the plate clean. There's no way he would lose today. The way the two were scooping, they would both set records of eating their vile gray mash. But Johnny didn't care about personal bests. He was going to be the first to open his gift. Just like last year and the year before, Johnny would be the winner on giving day. Their mother's voice rang from the living room behind Johnny.
Hurry up, boys! You can open your father's presents as soon as you finish breakfast.
Johnny's mind slipped from the guck dripping off of the aged utensil in his hand to the boxes under the tree. He had seen them last night when he snuck out of his room. His was bigger, which had kept a smile on his face since then. But what could their father have gotten them this year? What could be better than the helmets from last Christmas? Sure, they were too big, but actual players had worn them. They stank and everything. The best part was when their mom had yelled at them for months to stop the headbutting contests. Johnny usually won, and that pissed off his little brother just as much as it did Johnny when the little brat won. No way they would stop before she took them away. Even after she took them, the brothers had continued the contest, but that only lasted for a week or two. After every post-helmet contest, she would take them to Mr. Hunder. It wasn't worth going to the doctors after every time. They just started different contests, like Gutbuster and the Flying Kraken. Once Johnny's eyes focused on the mushy mountain on his fork, he realized he had stopped eating. How could he stop eating just thinking about the presents? His eyes widened as they looked beyond his fork at Jew, who had already made up the difference and was actually scooping into the lead. He resumed shoveling, fighting for the finish. Even though Johnny's refined licking skills closed the lead, Jew was already up and rounding the table by the time Johnny had cleaned his own plate. With the chipped porcelain still wobbling on the table, Johnny fell in a step behind his little brother as they raced from the table. Their feet went from clacking on the tile to digging into the McCovey turf. Johnny remembered his dad talking about the grass one time. It was actually some kind of mutated fungus. It was tough and didn't need dirt like other grasses. All they had to do was leave the windows open and pour that green water on it every day. Who cared if it was cold at night? That just made him tougher. Their stadium was the only one in the whole galaxy to use it, and their living room was carpeted with it. It was the best living room on the whole planet. It was a football living room. Diving for his box, Jew reached the tree first. Johnny skidded to his own present and began tearing at the wrapping. As he worked through the layers, he began thinking about the grass again. His dad was league MVP, and all he wanted was a chunk of grass for his house. They gave it to him because you couldn't say no to the MVP of the whole league. You couldn't say no to his dad. They wouldn't be able to say no to Johnny when he got old enough to play. He would make sure of that. The wrapping was off half the box, but Johnny didn't give his brain enough time to recognize the pictures and colors. He drove his fist through the cardboard and tore away the barrier between him and his gift. He grabbed the matte black finish, fingers easily wrapping around the handle. Johnny shot to his feet and whipped it up to silhouette against the window. It was the P-56 carbine, the same kind Marcus used on his show. His eyes lit up as they scanned through every mechanical switch and knack. That is, until his brother shrieked. A rumbling air tanker eclipsed the light streaming through the window. With the return of the sun, Jew was bouncing into a spiraling catch. His new football spun between his body and arm. "Touchdown!" he screamed, following it up with his rendition of a muted crowd roaring as he surveyed the room. Johnny's eyes found his own toy, but the sight only dragged his smile into a snarl. Already broad shoulders sagged an inch as he examined it from new angles. Why didn't he get a new football? He was smart enough to play football. He didn't need to be just another grunt with a gun. Jew yelped again.
"Mommy, time you to see how long it takes to run to the kitchen."
As he rested a hand on his thigh, he shifted from foot to foot. Johnny sneered at the punk's enthusiasm. His grip tightened on the plastic. As their mother yelled,
"Go!"
Johnny could hear Jew's, "Hmph!" But it was the imperceptible steps pumping from the boy that triggered Johnny's movement. Johnny slipped back a step and started his swing. He pivoted on the turf and threw the gun into the arc. This'll show him, her, all of them. At his full lean and with feet churning, Jew charged into the broadside of the gun. The plastic began to bend around his face. As his body began to catch up with his head, the P-56 carbine became infected with fractures until it snapped. The gun chunk spun into the air until it smacked the wall. The football, however, floated into the air before coming back down. It bounced against Jew's chest and tumbled away. Johnny spun what remained of the gun to the grass. He looked up as his mother emitted a shrill gasp. She slowly backed into the couch and fell as the boy began stepping towards her. She clawed deeper into the seat, but Johnny just swooped down and palmed the ball. In a double step, he was already standing over Jew. His younger brother clutched at his nose, the red slickness covering his face and staining the natural carpet. He rocked from side to side, more dramatic than his foot-to-foot shifting from earlier. As Jew began slamming his own head into the ground, Johnny knelt over him. Wobbling the ball over his smashed face, Johnny smugged, "You've got to cover up. Daddy doesn't fumble the ball like a little bitch." Welcome back. Hope you enjoyed that glimpse into Tweety's childhood. I know I did. Our second story is Triangle Victim, a piece of flash fiction written and performed by Kate Cheevers. Most of you will know her better as Phantom Reverie from either the forums or Twitter. Enjoy!
Zoe turned over and over in her bed. She had been trying to sleep for hours. She was exhausted from tossing and turning, twisting her sheets and pillows around and around. Christ, but she just wanted to sleep. She was on edge, feeling like something big was going to happen. But she didn't know what. She'd been up the past 36 hours. She was so stressed and drained, not to mention coming down from a serious caffeine pill binge, that she should have been able to fall asleep standing on one leg. But no matter how she tried, no matter how hard she was coming down from her buzz, Zoe just could not sleep. The itching, the goddamn itching that just would not quit. But she wasn't going to itch. She wouldn't let herself. Last summer, Zoe had a mosquito bite on her thigh. She had scratched the skin raw. Then it had started to bleed. And each time the bite tried to scab over, there she was, scratching again. The half-dollar-sized, infected, fluid, and pus-filled, bubbling scar from that accursed mosquito was enough to keep her hands clear from even the tiniest tingle. A piece of hair tickling her nose? No way. She wasn't even going to touch that. But this itching was something else entirely. It didn't just sit back and politely say, "Please scratch me." Oh no, not this sensation. This feeling, just under her navel, said something else entirely. Screamed something else entirely. This feeling shrieked, "Scratch, claw, gouge, bleed, tear me now, you bitch!" And boy, did Zoe want to. She squeezed her clenched hands between her thighs in an attempt to hold them still. She wanted to take her nails and scrape at her flesh until blood streamed raw agony down her stomach, her thighs. Zoe crammed her fist in her mouth on impulse and bit hard, stifling a scream of frustration and rage. The itching. Oh, God, the itching! The taste of blood suddenly filled Zoe's mouth and she jerked in surprise, pulling her hand free. A perfect crescent of teeth marks stretched across the back of the hand. 5 of the indentations were red and oozing, blood beginning to spill down the back of her hand. Droplets fell to the sheet, growing circles of red expanding on the clean white linen. Zoe stared at the droplets, transfixed. And as she stared, her hands crept to her stomach, and they started to scratch.
So now you're wondering, how can I hear my story here on Tuesday Terror? Here's what you need to do. Come up with a cool idea based in the Sigilverse. No slash fiction. Write a story of 300 to 7,500 words describing your idea. Send me an email at arioch@scottsigler.com. That's arioch@scottsigler.com. Attach your story as a file to that email. Most formats work. Doc, RTF, ODT, whatever. The only one I've found thus far that does not are PDF files. If you want to perform your own work, that's awesome. But it does need to be decent quality. Please attach an audio sample to your email if you want to narrate it. Full details can be found at scottsigler.com/Tuesday Terror submissions. Don't be shy. Feel free to email me with any questions or feedback. Me and the authors would love to know what you think of the show. I'll talk to you all in a couple weeks. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this episode of Tuesday Terror. Produced by Morningstar Studios in conjunction with Dark Overlord Media. Music courtesy of the band Separation of Sanity. Check them out at reverbnation.com/separationofsanity. For more information on the Sigilverse, please visit scottsigler.com.